When we come together, we don't come together as Baptists or Methodists. You don't catch hell because you're a Baptist, and you don't catch hell because you're a Methodist. You don't catch hell because you're a Methodist or a Baptist. You don't catch hell because you're a Democrat or a Republican. You don't catch hell because you're a Mason or an Elk. And you sure don't catch hell because you're an American, because if you was an American, you wouldn't catch no hell. You catch hell because you're a black man. You catch hell, all of us catch hell for the same reason.
The name and face of Malcolm X, and even his voice, are all over the place. For a militant black person who was assassinated over 25 years ago and who has not been recognized with a national holiday, this is quite an accomplishment. The video you are about to see will report on an important conference held in New York City in November 1990, which focused on the life and activities of Malcolm X. It was a major gathering attended by about 2,500 people from as many as 20 different states and 15 countries. The interest in Malcolm X was and still is amazing. So we have prepared this video documentary to make this conference available to an even larger audience. One of the main organizers of the conference was Abdul Al-Kalimat, longtime scholar and activist. In the opening session, Dr. Al-Kalimat joined with Dr. Betty Shabazz, the widow of Malcolm X, and others in putting Malcolm X in historical perspective.
The first international conference on Malcolm X, which we convened in November of 1990, we think was really quite a success. It was a success because of the level of participation and the intensity and seriousness with which people took up their task, and really for these reasons, and the importance of Malcolm in the political life of the United States and really the world. We hope that you can take this video and use it as study material in your schools, churches, communities, study circles. Really, it's an opportunity to take seriously the issues that face us all. Malcolm was a black revolutionary thinker, a critic, but he was really also a person of American proportions, of world proportions. And we hope that you are able to use the video of our conference. Thank you.
Check it out. In most cities, you can see Malcolm X's name or face all over. There are buttons, posters, t-shirts, and sweatshirts. There are numerous recent books and newspaper articles. There are efforts to preserve important historical sites. Video documentaries have been produced. There are institutions which bear his name. His picture is featured on TV programs. Artists have painted pictures, and poems have been written in his honor. Even contemporary filmmaker Spike Lee, who made Do the Right Thing, is making a feature film about Malcolm X, a film which has generated considerable controversy. But just who was this Malcolm X person, some of you might be asking, and what about his life and his work is making him so talked about and so important in the 1990s? As a brief and general background for the video you're about to watch, Malcolm X's life can best be understood as he went through four stages of development. He was born Malcolm Little on May 19, 1925, in Lansing, Michigan, the son of Reverend Earl Little and Louise Little, a native of Grenada. His father, a militant follower of Marcus Garvey, was murdered. And Malcolm X's mother suffered a nervous breakdown from the pressures of trying to raise a family with little support from a vicious welfare system. Malcolm lived in foster homes and had an all too typical experience as a bright seventh grader who was president of his class. When he told his English teacher that he hoped to be a lawyer one day, he was laughed at and told that he should be realistic about being a nigger and learn to work with his hands. Malcolm then became Detroit Red, reflecting his rejection by a racist society. He moved to the East Coast and began to live the norms and values of street life. In Boston and New York, he used and sold dope, pimped women, and stole other people's property. He finally landed in prison outside of Boston. Inside prison, Malcolm began the process of self-transformation. He was influenced by Bambi, a legendary prison intellectual. Malcolm was then recruited into the Nation of Islam by his brothers and sisters. He became Malcolm X. He learned how to read and how to think critically. Malcolm X showed great commitment and became a model of self-discipline.
The Nation of Islam helped Malcolm lift himself up and become one of the greatest black leaders of all times. But Malcolm grew beyond this organization and desired to play a bigger role in the growing struggle for black liberation. He became the main force behind the strategic slogan of a Black United Front, a coalition of all black people led by the masses and not by the privileged elites. His new organization was called the Organization of Afro-American Unity. He adopted the name of Omar Wali on a trip to Africa, and after his trip to Mecca, the holiest shrine of the Muslim faith, he took the name of Malik Shabazz. Malcolm X rose from the lowest depths to the highest achievements possible, worldwide recognition and respect for faith, honesty, vision, and courage. The path he traveled to get out of hell is a road open to most black youth. Malcolm is a role model for the great mass of black youth. Our black and shining prince, as Ossie Davis called Malcolm in the eulogy at his funeral.
You know, in one sense, Malcolm's everywhere. But in another more profound sense, we really have to ask ourselves critically, where can we find Malcolm X, and where can we find the meaning that Malcolm had for black people and that he can have for all of us? We named our conference Radical Tradition and a Legacy of Struggle, partly because Malcolm, to understand Malcolm, we think you have to appropriate, you have to go back and you have to look at the radical black tradition out of which Malcolm comes, and then you have to look to the struggle that Malcolm's life involved. Now, of course, the most obvious way to get close to Malcolm is to take up his words. I mean, these were Malcolm's words. This is the book that contains Malcolm's story as he told it. And it seems to me that while many people are telling the story, that all of us have to start, our point of beginning has to be the story as Malcolm told it. And I think in that way, we can begin to critically assess what he said and what he did. And of course, what follows from that is the simple and basic fact that Malcolm's meaning comes to its greatest intensity when we follow his example and get involved actively in the black liberation movement and the struggle for social transformation ourselves.